Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings such pleasure to see so many young faces on a Saturday night in the month of Ramadan, as Mufti Sahib mentioned, that we are fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us this tawfiq and ability. And it's one of the signs of the truthfulness of our deen, that today in this day and age, 2018, where day in, day out, we hear negativity about our religion, and an effort is being made to make the Muslims distant from their religion, to turn them away from Islam, so that they only remain Muslim by name. If we become Muslim by name, then nobody has a problem with us. But the problem is when we become Muslim, truly Muslims, which we are, alhamdulillah, maybe not 100%, some 90%, some 80%, some 50%, even if it's 10%, something is better than nothing. So despite all the negativity, if you look around the world, I had some work going in my house and there was a builder there. He was a Christian. He wasn't a Christian, he was half a Christian. So he said to me, we were just discussing religions. And I said to him that Islam is the second largest religion on the planet. So he said, no, Islam is the largest religion on the planet, because the rest of the religions, most of the people who follow these religions, they only, when it comes to a census or somewhere where they have to tick in a form, which religion are you? I'm Christian, I'm Jewish, I'm this, I'm that. But when it comes to practical life, they have no association with that religion whatsoever. And on the other hand, this is a non-Muslim, he's telling me that Muslims, they don't only just tick that I'm a Muslim. They all have some attachment to the deen. Some, like I said, some more than others. Some people pray 5 times a day, which we should. Some people pray 3 times a day. Some people, at least they come for Jummah as well, once a week. So that means that they'd have some sort of realization of their responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a sign for us, because an effort is being made to turn us away from our religion. For us to doubt the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hereafter, all of these things, questions are tried to be put into our minds. But alhamdulillah, we are not affected by them. Most of us, we will find that these questions never arise in our minds. This is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the truthfulness of our deen, that despite all of this, Islam is growing day by day. So many young children, they become hafiz. Here, alhamdulillah, you have so many children who are in hifz class. So many young children becoming alim. This is a sacrifice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows us that despite all of this, He has the ability and He will safeguard this religion. So we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us the haqq. He has given us the truth. He has shown us the light, because there are so many people in the world who are living in darkness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to value this ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa liman khafa maqama rabbihi jannatan. صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا.
A chain of events that many of us would have experienced in our lives is that a person, the month of Ramadan comes, or he goes out in Jamaat for 3 days, 40 days. Or he comes to the masjid, he listens to a lecture, maybe on the day of Jumu'ah. Or somebody is visiting from out of town, out of the country. A conference takes place. And through the barakah of these activities, maybe the month of Ramadan, maybe the 15th of Sha'ban, maybe his time spent in Jama'at, maybe the lecture of a certain scholar, maybe something even more insignificant. Just an incident that takes place in his life. Something comes about, somebody close to him passes away, he falls ill, he goes through some difficulties. And because of this, a person, he comes back onto deen. He makes a firm intention and a firm resolve to leave his sinful life, to leave those activities which displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in his mind, he has made this resolve that enough is enough. From today, I'm going to stop. From today, I'm going to stop the wrong that I'm doing. If I'm taking drugs, that's it, finished. If I'm in a relationship, a haram relationship, from today is a cut-off. No more phoning, no more texting, no more meeting. If I am not performing salah, then from today I'm going to be performing salah 5 times a day. If I'm involved in crime, in theft, in robberies, or in any other type of criminal activity, then from today I'm going to stop. I'm going to leave this. And the list can go on of the different sins that different people can be involved in. And the person, through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is steadfast on his tawbah. For a few days, maybe for a few weeks, maybe for a few months. And then he sees after some time that his resolve starts to become weak. Or maybe not even that, but he finds himself slowly going back. Going back to where he started. So the month of Ramadan comes, let's just take the example of the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan comes, it brings its blessings, it brings its barakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the environment such in the month of Ramadan that a person, his inclination towards wrong decreases. His inclination towards good. إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانَ فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ. That the doors of Jannah are open. One interpretation of this is that those a'mal which take a person towards Jannah, the inclination towards them increases. وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ. And the doors of Jahannam are closed, which means that those actions which take a person towards Jahannam, their inclination towards them is decreased. So a person, he makes his intention that now I'm going to stop all my wrongdoings. All those things which bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I have been doing until today, I'm going to stop them. I've had enough. He may turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua, shed a few tears even. All of this is the favor and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To shed a few tears out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not something which is to be taken lightly. It is mentioned regards one of the elders, if I recall correctly, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Bartabgari or someone from the Salaf, from the Akabir, that he started to cry. So he was making dua and he started to cry. And after this, somebody gave him a tissue to wipe the tears off. So he said that these tears are so valuable that they cannot be handed over to the tissue. And he took his hands and he rubbed these tears over his face. That these are valuable tears. This is a tissue. It's worthless. Why should I give my tears over to this tissue? These tears, they are worthy of being rubbed onto my face. So a person, he does this tawbah. He wipes, he sheds a few tears. He has this realization. And we've all been through this. At some point in our life, or many times in our life, we've all been through these situations where we find ourselves in this situation. Alhamdulillah, this is a wake-up call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then what do we find? That we start go back again. Instead of going forward, we find that we're making a U-turn. And then a few days pass, and we're going round again, back onto the straight path. And then we turn back, and this cycle carries on going. Some people, they are unfortunate that they're always going backwards. So the fact that a person, he is in this cycle, this is also a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the end of the day, this is still a dangerous game. Because this person is fortunate, or we are fortunate, that many a times we have done tawbah, we have repented, we have resolved, we have been steadfast in this for some time, and then we have slipped, and then we have stood up again, and then we have walked, and then we have slipped again, and we have stood up again, and we've been through this circle so many times. But sometimes a person, some sins that he commits, some wrongdoings that he commits, the danger of them can be so much, the severity of them can be so much, that this person, he is never given the tawfiq to stand up again. It can have such disastrous effects. So a person should not think that I've done tawbah, now I feel like committing sin, let me do it again and then I'll do tawbah again. And then he does tawbah, he tries to stay on this, and then he feels the inclination towards wrong, so he feels that it doesn't matter, only one more time. So he takes drugs, he stopped. 6 months after, he feels like taking drugs again. He's in a relationship with someone, he cuts off, no more contact. And then after 6 months, he's going through his phone directory and he feels like phoning the person again. And he thinks, just one more conversation, just one more message, and then I'll stop again. And this carries on. But a time could come in a person's life where the severity of a sin is so much that he is not given the tawfiq. Because sometimes, if at the wrong time, the wrong sin is committed, it can have disastrous effects. There's a very famous incident. You would have heard many a times that there was a young man, he was a muadzin. He used to stand up and give adhan on the minbar, day in, day out. So 5 times a day, this person, he was giving adhan. One day, he went up onto the minaret. So the minaret is at a higher place, and from there you can see inside the homes, people's garden, their front yard, etc. So he went up to give his adhan, and whilst he was walking up the stairs, he may have been looking here and then his eyes fell on a young girl. So if a person looks at somebody by accident, he did not mean to do so, then this is not haram, he's not doing anything wrong, he should turn his eyes away immediately. But this person, he didn't do this. He carried on looking. He may have thought, it doesn't matter, you know, it's only once, I don't do this every day. Like we do so many sins and we feel it's only one more time, it doesn't matter, it's only a small sin. It's not going to be the end of the world, I'll do tawbah, I'll change again, and it's okay, it'll be okay. This person, when he looked again and then he started to look at her even more, her love fell into his heart. And he became mad. In a matter of a few seconds, he was madly in love. There was a famous poet, Ghalib, you would have heard his name, he said, he used to say, "Ishq ne ghalib nikamma kar diya, warna hum bhi the aadmi kaam ke." Ishq ne ghalib nikamma kar diya. Ishq, this love. Love for what? Illicit love. Haram love. For the opposite gender, which is out of wedlock, which is against the deen or religion. Ishq ne ghalib nikamma kar diya. It has made me useless. Warna hum bhi the aadmi kaam ke. Otherwise, I was also a person who was worthy of becoming something. So many young men, so many young boys, they have a bright future. They have a bright future in deen, they have a bright future in dunya. And what do they give this up for? For some girl. They are madly in love with her. Rather than going to the lessons in college and university, they're running behind her. Rather than attending the masjid or the madrasa, they're busy phoning this person, texting this person, meeting up with this person, and she's on his mind 24/7. He can't sleep at night. He can't eat properly. He's becoming useless. He's not fulfilling his potential. So he said, "Ishq ne ghalib nikamma kar diya. Warna hum bhi the aadmi kaam ke." I could have become something. But because of giving my heart over in the wrong place, to the wrong person, I lost everything. Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahimahullah, he used to say, "Kisi khaki pe mat kar fida apni jawani ko. Fida kar us pe ke jisne di jawani ko. Kisi khaki par mat kar fida apni jawani ko." A young woman, she's not made of soil, but she's just a normal human being like you. She goes to the toilet, she may fall sick, she's going to grow old, she may vomit sometimes, she has you know, dirt also inside her. She becomes dirty. She needs to clean herself. She's a normal human being. She's not a hoor. He said, kisi khaki par mat kar fida apni jawani ko. Don't give over your youth to her. Fida kar us pe ke jisne di jawani ko. Give over your youth to that being who has given you your youth, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use this vigor of youth. Use this energy that you have. Use this time that you have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was saying that this person, he went up and one sin, just one wrong sin, one wrongdoing, he looked at this young girl and he fell madly in love with her. He came down from the minbar, so he didn't even do adhan. He came down from the minaret and he went looking in the gully, in the streets, and he found her house and he knocked on the door. So the father opened the door. He said, who are you? What do you want? So he said that, are you the father of so-and-so girl who lives in this house? He said, yes. He said, what do you want? He said, I want to marry your daughter. So he must have inquired, who are you? What's your name? What do you do? Etc. He came to know that this person is a Muslim. He gives adhan, etc. So he said to him that, look, my religion, your religion is different. You're Muslim, we're Christian or Jewish or whatever he was. And if you want to marry my daughter, then you will have to accept my religion. You will have to give up your religion. Only then will I consider you to be taken as a son-in-law. Because he had become madly in love and he wanted to marry this young girl and make her his wife, he said, okay, if that's what you say, then I am giving up Islam. He gave up his religion to marry someone. The date was fixed that on this day, we will, the nikah or the marriage ceremony will take place. It is written in the books that this young boy, a few days before his nikah, he may have been, you know, in his house putting up lights, or Allah knows best. He was climbing, maybe doing some domestic duties from work in his home, and he was climbing up a ladder and he dropped from a high height. And he fell down, he had a brain injury and he died there on the spot. So before his marriage, he already died. So he left Islam so he could marry this young girl, and before the time came for he to marry her, he left this world. He was not able to even fulfill this desire of his. And where did this start from? So he left Islam, which means that he will be going into Jahannam forever and ever because of one sin, because of one wrongdoing. One sin that we take so lightly, that we feel that it doesn't matter, I will do tawbah again, I will make a U-turn. Alhamdulillah, many times we do tawbah. Allah gives us the tawfiq. But like I said, this chain of events, this cycle that we go through, it is not a healthy cycle. Yes, many a times everyone is bound to do wrong. It's not going to be that the person, he does tawbah and he will never ever commit a sin right till he breathes his last. That should be the result, that should be the intention. But we will slip. But it's a matter of how badly a person slips. If he slips now and again, that's a different case. What we find in our lives is that we have good 6 months, and then 3 months we're on the wrong track. And then we have a good 1 month, and then again we're on the wrong track. Sometimes 1 year we're on the wrong track, and then we had a good few weeks, and we keep on going back to our old lives, to our old habits. The question that we need to ask ourselves, my dear brothers, is what is the reason for this? Why does this happen? Why do we find ourselves in this vicious cycle that is repeating over and over again that we don't want to be in? We don't want to be in this cycle. We want to get out of it. But why is it that we end up going back to our old habits? The reason being, my dear brothers and my young friends, is that we do leave the sin. We do make a resolve. We do tawbah. We do shed a few tears. But those things, those people, those situations which make us commit sin, we do not eradicate them from our lives. So the asbab, the reasons why we are committing this sin, we don't look into them. We don't ponder over them. And we do not eradicate these asbab and these reasons from our life, because of which we end up going back over and over again to where we started. It's like snakes and ladders. I don't know if this exists in Canada. You go up and then you have a snake and it comes back down again. And you're going up and then you come back down again if you go on the wrong, get the wrong number on the dice. So if a person, he does not extinguish or he does not take out those things which bring him to sin, then this person will never be able to stay and resolve on his tawbah. And our deen teaches us that prevention is better than cure. There's no point a person putting his finger in the fire and then crying, and then screaming, and then putting his hand under the tap, and then looking for this cream and that cream. Our deen teaches us that if you want to stay away from wrong, then you keep a barrier, you keep a distance between you and that wrong. So if we make tawbah, but we don't take out those things, those people. For example, there is a person, let's take for example, he takes drugs, he takes intoxicants, he drinks. Now he comes into the masjid, he listens to a lecture, Ramzan comes and he says, enough is enough, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to commit this wrong anymore. I've left this now for good. Few days, he's okay. He survives. But the person who is supplying him the drugs, his number is still on his phone. The friends with which he was taking intoxicants or drinking alcohol or going out and doing these wrong activities, he is still associating with them. He is still messaging them. He is still talking to them. He is still in this friendship. So he has not left those people who are making him commit this sin. There was a time when he never used to do this. He knows himself that the reason why I started taking drugs, the reason why I started to drink is because of X, Y, and Z. Before I started to hang around with this crew or these people, I never used to do this. And once he started hanging around with them, he ended up in this wrong. Then he wants to leave this wrong. He's had enough. His parents are upset. His parents are crying. His parents are asking him, you know, to stop. And he feels sorry. He feels bad that I shouldn't make my parents go through this. And he stops. But what doesn't he do? What's the mistake that we make? Those people because of which we commit this wrong, those people because of which we commit these sins, those people who invite us towards these wrong, we do not cut ourselves off from them. We feel scared. We feel that if I do not associate this person, what will this person say to me? He will say, you know, you become Sufi Sahab, you become so religious, there's nobody like you in the whole of Toronto, and we're all bad, and you're the only good person. And they will start to taunt me, and they'll make fun of me, and they may put up some posts about me here and there, and I will have no more friends, and my life will become boring. So this person, he's scared to take that extra step. So we take the first step, the second step, that you just... Those people who, if the person supplying you drugs, you delete his number whatsoever altogether. Delete his number for good, so you can't contact him. There's no way to get in touch with him. So if you've cut off the supply, then there's no problem. Then you can't go back there. Those people who are making you do this wrong, if a person cuts off from them, this will make life much easier. He may come back into the sin again. He may make this mistake again. But if he makes this extra effort, he goes this extra way, then this will allow him to stay away from this. This will allow him to turn away from this wrong. There is a person, he's in a haram relationship. He's committing haram. He is talking to a girl, meeting up with her. He may be doing even more. He makes an intention in Ramadan, in the masjid, that now enough is enough. I'm not going to do this wrong anymore. But what does he do? He doesn't want to delete her number. He doesn't want to delete her details from his different social media platforms. He still wants to keep that, but at the same time, I'm not going to contact her anymore. I'm not going to phone, I'm not going to message, I'm not going to pick up the phone, whatever. But at the same time, the number's still there. What will happen? After 1 week, after 2 weeks, Shaitan will start to bug him. Shaitan will start to play with his mind. Then Shaitan will say to him, just one message, just see if she's alive. How are you? You know, I'm nothing else, just something very basic, you know, as a brotherly message. This is where Shaitan, this is how he starts. But we're so foolish that he's played this game with us so many times. He's played this game with us so many times, and even then, we still fall trap to this. If somebody walks on a road and he slipped, he knows that this, you know, near my house, this certain part of a road, there is slippery. It's snowing, you know, there's ice. And he slipped once. What is he going to do the next time? When he goes to the masjid, he slipped. And he knows that this is what the route home. Next time he's going to cross the road and come from the other side. If he comes from this side, we will all say, you're silly, stupid. That you already walk from here, you slip once, you know that it's a slippery road, then you don't walk from here, you turn around, you take the other route. So Shaitan, he's played these games with us so many times, these mind games, that just one message, just one phone call, with this good intention. This is how Shaitan plays with our minds, good intention. Even with our friend, that I just want to see my friend's okay. I just want to see that nothing's happened to him. Do you need me for anything? This is where it all starts. And then one message, he sends you a message back, and then you send a message to him, and he sends you back, and you go in 10 minutes, you're back where you were. In just a few minutes, a person back to square one. And again, he's back into his bad habits. So Shaitan, he plays these games with us so many times. But unfortunately, we're so foolish that we still feel that, no, not this time. This time, I'm going to beat Shaitan. This time, I'm going to overpower him. And then we get beaten again, and again, and again, and again. And like I said in the beginning, it may be a time may come where we may never ever be able to stand up to combat our nafs, to combat Shaitan. A person, he has a bad habit. He may be doing some other wrong. For example, you have a person, you know, pornography and looking at indecent material. This is something which is so common nowadays. A person, he listens to a lecture, or he feels inside that dirty, that I am a Muslim, I shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's watching over me. So he's overwhelmed by this thought. He sheds a few tears, he makes tawbah, and now I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to commit this wrong again. I've had enough. But he knows that when do I do this sin? Which situation is it in which I am prone to committing this sin? And he knows when I'm at home alone, late at night, in my bedroom, where there's nobody around, I have my mobile phone, I have my iPad, I have my tablet, and I start doing my schoolwork or my university work or madrasa work or this or that, and then slowly, this is where I end up. Looking at something which I should not be looking at. Doing something which I should not be doing. So the situation which makes him commit this sin, he knows this situation very well, that when I am in this situation, I am prone to committing this sin. When I find myself in this situation, I will end up committing this sin. So the person makes tawbah, but he does not extinguish this situation from his life. He finds himself in that situation again. He puts himself in that situation again. If he knows that every time I am alone in a room, there is nobody around, then I end up committing this sin. What should a person do who has any intellect? He should make sure that he does not find himself alone in that situation. He should make sure that if he, at night, when everyone is asleep, he ends up doing this wrong, what should he do? He should take his mobile phone, he should take his tablet, he should give it to somebody else. He should go and put it in his parents' bedroom. He doesn't need his phone at night because he's sleeping. When a person is sleeping, what does he need his phone or his tablet for? Nobody's going to message him half one, half two at night. Everyone's sleeping. So if a person knows that the situation, when I use my laptop, when I do my homework, when I do my schoolwork, upstairs in my bedroom, this is where I end up. I'm committing sins. I'm looking at something which is haram, which is indecent. So the person should use his brain. We should use our brain. And we should understand that when I'm in this situation, I am weak. Shaitan, nafs overcomes me. So what should I do? I should go downstairs where everyone there is in my family, or in the front room where I have some peace, but at the same time, anyone could walk in. This is where I should do my homework. This is where I should use my laptop. This is where I should browse the net. This is where I should play my games. Because if I am in this situation, then I will not commit this wrong. I will not be able to commit this haram. I will not be able to commit this sin. And if a person does this, then he will be able to save himself. But this is the mistake we make. The people that we are with that make us come to sin, we don't leave them out. We don't disassociate ourselves from them. The situations in which we become weak, the situations in which we become prone to our nafs, we do not make sure that we don't find ourselves in those situations. Those things which make us commit wrong, like today our mobile phones, our tablets, our gadgets. They make us commit wrong. Not once, not twice, not five times, hundreds of times. We know that this phone is not healthy for me. It's not good for me. I use it 5% for good things and 95% for wrong things. This tablet, I use it minimal for good activities, halal activities, and most of the time it's used for wrong. So what should a person do? The tablet, it's not that if you don't have a tablet or phone in your pocket, you can't breathe. Has anyone come across this situation? If you don't have a tablet next to you or in your room or in your hand, then your breathing stops? Definitely not. These things only came about today. 10 years ago, nobody had a tablet or mobile phone or this or that. They still live their lives. So if we know that this certain gadget is getting me into trouble, it is taking me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is diverting me from my Creator, what should an intellectual person do? He should sacrifice this. He should use his brain that this phone, this tablet, this gadget is not important. It's not the most important thing in the world. The most important thing is that my Creator is happy with me. So if this is taking me to wrong over and over and over again, let's just get rid of it for good. And inshallah, my life will carry on as it was before. It won't make a big difference. It won't make a big change. We won't make a great loss. So something, someone, a situation which is calling us towards wrong, which makes us do wrong, we have to get rid of, we have to identify them. Every person is different. For every person, some people, who those people are, will be different. For each person, what those things are which make him commit sin, they are different. For each person, the situations in which he finds himself to be weak, they are different. Some people, they are weak in public. Some people, they are weak in private. Some, the opposite. So every person should assess his situation. We are making tawbah. We are making tawbah today in the month of Ramadan. It is the Ashura of forgiveness has started. But at the same time, we should not only just make tawbah. We should not stop there. Because like I said, what will happen, we'll go back again. We'll make tawbah and then we'll go back to where we were. And we'll make tawbah again and we'll go back to where we were. So we have to sit down and we have to identify. We have to think that what is it that makes me commit this wrong? You've all heard the incident of the person who killed 99 people. And then he came to the worshipper. He said to him that, "Hallaka halli min tawbatin, can I make tawbah?" So he said, "No, you can't make tawbah." So he thought to himself, "I've killed 99, I might as well make it 100. And he killed him off also. Then he went to an alim, to a scholar, and he asked him, that can I make tawbah? I've killed 100 people. He said, why not? Of course you can. Because in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limits. Even if he never said this to him, but even if he killed 1,000 people, he could still do tawbah. Even if a person kills 1,000,000 people, he can do tawbah. Tawbah never stops. So like I said, if we keep going back to sin, that doesn't mean we should become despondent. But we should try to make ourselves such that we don't go back. So this person, he said to him that, you know, if you want to do tawbah, then from here, go to such and such a town. So where you are living now, from here you need to leave this place and go to such and such a town. The incident carries on. This person, he passed away on the way, and then the malaika came and he was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to mention the whole incident, but the lesson we learn from this incident, that this person, he killed 100 people and he was told by the alim that you need to leave this vicinity and you need to go to such and such a town. The books, the muhaddithin mentioned that the place he was in was a place where sinners resided. It was a place, there was no goodness and khair there. And he told him to go to another place where pious people lived. So this was basically the completion of his tawbah. Tawbah you can do anywhere. You can do in the most dirtiest of places, the place where the most sin is committed. But the completion of the tawbah, that he will be steadfast on his tawbah, he's showing him the path. That if you want to complete this tawbah of yours, then you can't, if you just stay here, you'll end up doing this wrong again. Then it'll become 101, 102, and you'll start again. The same cycle that you were in will start again. So he's telling him that you go from here to another place, so that you do not come back to this evil life of yours. So the hadith is teaching us, and we find this in our deen, many different injunctions, where a person is not only told to stay away from sin, he is those things which bring a person towards sin. He is also told to stay away from them, because it is better, like I said, prevention is better than cure. It is better that a person, if it's cold, then you wear your jacket, you wear your coat, rather than a person, it's cold, he goes out in his t-shirt. And then he falls sick, he falls ill, he goes to the doctor, he has to take medicine. This is silly. So rather than a person committing sin, going towards sin, and then having to do tawbah, to tawbah, this is a cure. A person does tawbah, this is like medicine. So prevention, that a person, he makes himself such that he doesn't go towards sin. He stays away from sin. He stays away from those things that take him towards sin. This is better than that a person, because like illnesses, prevention is better than cure. Most illnesses can be cured, but sometimes a person, he may walk out with a t-shirt and he may fall ill in such a manner that his whole body may shut down. And this person may end up dying from something which is so, you know, something he has done 20 times before, that he's gone out in the cold, he has a cold, he has a fever, and then he gets better again. But sometimes the situation may arise that he never gets better again. So it's better that a person stays away from sin. This is what our deen teaches. For example, one injunction of our deen, I'm completing now, is that it is haram to keep sculptures. It is haram to draw animate objects. It is haram to put animate objects, pictures of them up on the wall, etc. Why is this? What's the reason? What's the hikmat, wisdom behind this? The reason behind this is that the people of the past, they became idol worshippers. And the way they became idol worshippers was that, first of all, somebody pious passed away. So they said, this is our Hazrat, our big Sheikh. So we want to remember him. So let's draw a picture of him, so we can remember him. So they drew a picture. Then they put the picture up on the wall. Then somebody came, I also want a copy. He went and put one up in his shop, and in his house, and that house, and here and there. And then they put flowers around it. And then somebody thought to himself that this is only a picture. Let's make a proper statue of this famous person, this pious person. So they never worshipped him. They never thought that this is a god, or this is, you know, someone that we should worship. Time passed. And eventually then one person, this sculpture is in his house, and he thought that, you know, let me make dua to this sculpture because this is a pious person. The next person, he started doing sajda. And then the third person done something extra. And slowly, slowly, something which started off as a picture, it ended up becoming an idol, and people started to worship this. So it all starts off from something which is insignificant. Something which has no, you couldn't even dream that a picture, someone makes a drawing, this ends up becoming something which is worshipped, apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why our religion teaches us that something which is animate, if something is inanimate, then it's not worshipped anyway, like a tree. Like, you know, a house. If you want to draw a house, you want to draw a tree, you want to draw a landscape, there's nothing wrong in this, because this is not worshipped. But if it's an animate object, then you shouldn't. You shouldn't have a sculpture of this. Why? This is to distance ourselves from idol worship. So there's a 0.001% that this person could be worshipping this sculpture that's in his house. But because this worshipping of a sculpture is such a dangerous deed, our deen teaches us that you stay miles away from this. Just like if you have a chemical factory, you know, you can't just go, you know, a couple of hundred yards away. A long way away, there'll be a gate and there'll be hundreds of signs. Danger, no entry. Anyone who wishes to enter, they have to wear this helmet, they have to do this. Whereas the danger is so far away. The chemical, you know, the chemicals and whatever is dangerous, it's hundreds of yards away. But it is all shut off, a long way away, because these chemicals, they're so dangerous that if a person goes near them, he will not be able to live. So the people who run these factories, they prevention is better than cure. If somebody comes, even if he jumps over the gate, they keep such a big distance that somebody can come and stop him. If somebody, he is, you know, lost in the head, he jumps over, he wants to go inside, somebody can stop him. So they keep a big long distance. If you've ever been to London on the tube, you have, you know, the train tracks, they're electrified. If you sit on them, or if you, you know, put your feet on there, it's a live train, you will die. You'll get electric shock. So there's a yellow line there. And there'll be announcement over and over again. Don't go across the yellow line. Don't go. So you have the train here, and then you have a yellow line. Everyone is told to stand back. Why are they told to stand back? Even if they go in front of the yellow line, they're not on the track. They're not going to fall over. So it's not going to make a difference. They're not in any danger. But the reason is that a person, if he's on this side of the yellow line, just say he faints. If he faints, then he will fall down on the floor. If he's on this side of the yellow line and he faints, what will happen? He will end up on the track. He may die. Somebody pushes him. If he is on this side, he's far away, then nothing will happen. Most likely he will just fall down on the side or somewhere on the platform. He won't fall onto a track. And if he's on this side, somebody pushes him by accident. This person falls onto a track, he will die. So he is told, prevention's better than cure. It's better that a person stays far away rather than he falls onto a track, he has electric shock, he ends up in hospital, he may die, he may not. So people of the dunya even have this much intellect. So our deen teaches us that we stay away from sin. The rulings of hijab, that women cover up. Why are they there for? What is the reason? What's the hikmat behind? The reason being is that if they do not cover up, then there is a possibility of fitna arising between men and women. And this fitna will bring about so many sins. It will bring about so many wrongdoings, adultery, fornication, haram relationships, and the list goes on. So women are told, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the daughters of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to them? فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ, that when somebody comes to your home, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ, he tells the Sahaba Ikram that when you ask or you go to the homes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and you want to ask him for something, then ask from behind the door. Ask in such a manner that you cannot see them. The Sahaba and the Sahabiyat, was there any possibility of them doing any wrong? The Sahaba, the greatest group after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, their hearts were completely pure and clean. You know, today we say, in Gujarati they say, I don't know about other people, they say, dil saf ho jue. Your heart should be clean. After that, parda, hijab, that's not important. If your heart's clean, then everything's okay. Even if somebody is half naked, it doesn't matter. As long as your heart is clean. So that means that we have more taqwa than the Sahaba. That it doesn't matter for us if we buy a magazine which has, you know, all sorts of haram, indecent pictures inside, but the heart should be clean. The objective should be the news or the rest of the information. Then it doesn't matter. You can look wherever you want. This is all from shaitan. So the Sahaba and the Sahabiyyah, they are being told, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ, when you ask for something, then ask from behind the veil, from behind the wall. And the Sahabiyat are told, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ, when you speak to someone, then do not speak in a soft manner, in a soft tone, in such a tone where somebody could be inclined towards you. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِي قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell your wives and your daughters and the believing women that they should cover themselves when they go out from their home. And the men are told, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, lower your gaze. Why? There is no point that a person, he looks at haram and then he tries to control it, his heart. He trying to control his mind that he is not inclined towards this person. He is told that right from the outset, just keep your eyes down. Do not look at something which is haram. Because if you do so, and the love of that person goes into your heart, then for you to concentrate in your ibadat, for you to concentrate on your objective in life will become difficult. So a person is told from the outset that you keep yourself away from those things which take you towards sin. So this is why the injunctions of hijab are put in place as a precaution, which is known as saddul bab, to close the door of sin. So this is what we need to apply in our lives. There are certain things which Shariat has already stipulated for us. But apart from this, like I said, we all have our own situations. We all have our weaknesses. So we should identify. We should identify ourselves. Go home, do muhasaba. Today we are sitting inside the masjid, we are spending the night here. Let us take out a bit of time and ponder and reflect that what is it, who is it, what situations are there that make me commit sin, that make me do wrong, that make me go back to my sinful life. And then we should, along with our tawbah, we should start taking action. We should not drastic action. I'm not saying that if you hang around with someone and they make you do wrong, from tomorrow you send a person a text, I don't want to know you again, you're like this, you're like that, you messed up my life. This is not what we do. We shouldn't look down upon anyone. We should not feel that I'm better than someone. But if we know that somebody is getting us into trouble, then slowly, slowly we wean ourselves off. Slowly, slowly, they will start to get the message that this person is not interested in me anymore. This person is not interested in the life that we are living. And they may bug you for some time. They may give you a few funny comments. And then slowly, slowly, this person will give up as well. So first they'll tell you, oh, you know, you become Sufi sahab, or you are just going to a masjid, or, you know, make way for this person, Buzrug is coming. And after a few days, people will give up. They're only interested for some time. So we just listen from one ear and take it out the other. So we should identify, and slowly, if we can do something overnight, alhamdulillah, but generally we can't. So we wean ourselves off slowly. If we know that our tablet, our phone, it is getting us in trouble, it is making us do sin, then we should limit our times. If we're using our phone for 6 hours a day, limit it to 4 hours, then to 3 hours, then to 2 hours, and then you will find that we do not need it anymore. We will find that the wrongs that we are doing, they've slowly started to drop, or we've completely stopped them. Because we've taken out those things which are making us do wrong. So if we do this, then we will be able to stay steadfast on our tawbah. And along with that, we need constant reminders. Constant reminders over and over again. This is why we come to the masjid. This is why these programs take place. This is why Allah gives us the month of Ramadan, year in, year out. So we can turn back to Him. So we can come back to Him. So that we can make amends. Like I said, we will do wrong again. We will slip. We will always slip because we're human beings, but we shouldn't give up. And if somebody finds that I can't even leave those things which make me commit sin, I can't leave those friends, but even then he finds himself that he is back in Tawbah, and then he is back, and then he's doing Tawbah. Even like I said in the beginning, this is also a good situation. This is not something a person should feel that there's no point. It's not worth it. Because this is an effort. This is a struggle, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He values our struggle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows the time and era that we're living in. He knows the fitan that we are around us. The countries that we live in, the times that we live in, there's, you know, freedom to do whatever you want. So it is much harder for us than, say, somebody who lives in a village in India or Pakistan or Afghanistan or Africa. Even if he wants to commit wrong, he can't because he doesn't have money in his pocket. If he wants to go clubbing, he can't because there's no club in his village. If he wants to drink, he can't because there's no pub there. So our struggle is much more. Our struggle that we have to do, living in, you know, the Western world, with all the different things are around us, we have all these different luxuries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can see all of this. And He will value our struggle. He will value our struggle. If we win in this battle, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give us in the next life much, much more than those people whose struggle is far less. 50 years ago, the fitnas which are around us today, they did not exist. There was haya, there was modesty, even if a person wanted to do wrong. If he wanted to talk to a girl, he couldn't. If he was living in a village or back home in our countries, he couldn't go to somebody's house or so on, knock on somebody's door or text someone or write a letter or leave a note. The family would finish him off in one day. He wouldn't dare to do this. But today there's no sharam, there's no haya, there's no modesty. So there's, you know, liberalism, you can do what you want. So this is a bigger test. So Allah knows that our test is greater, so Allah will give us even greater reward. He will be more merciful to us. So we should never ever give up. We should never ever become despondent. We should always have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what our situation is, no matter what happens, we should just keep turning back. An Urdu poet, he says, Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashiq na chhore. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhiye, jo so bar toote to so bar jore. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, that person who is a failure his whole life, he finds himself in this cycle over and over and over again. That he is doing good and then he slips. And then he stands up and then he slips. And then he stands up and he slips. Sometimes he's up for a day, sometimes for a week, sometimes for a few hours. And then he ends up committing wrong again. He ends up going back to his old life. So he said, Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashiq na chore. This person who is a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all lovers of Allah. This is why we are here. We all want to please Allah. This is why when we do wrong, do we feel happy? There will be nobody here. Everyone who is seated here, that when we commit sin and when we commit wrong, that we feel proud of ourselves. No. If we look deep down into our hearts, we will all find that we feel sad, that we feel regret, that we feel remorse, that no, I shouldn't have done this. Now I'm not going to do this again. I've had enough now. We go through this so many times. What is this a sign? That we love Allah. We don't want to displease Allah. But we overcome by our nafs, by our desires, by shaitan. So he said, jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashiq na chore. The one who loves Allah, he shouldn't give up. Because Allah will never, Allah is not like us. That if a friend, you know, he is bad to us, a friend, he deceives us, he comes back and he puts out his hand in friendship, then we say one time, okay, you know, it's okay, I'll forget about it. And then he does this again we'll forgive him. And the third time, we say, get lost. I don't want to know you anymore. Allah's not like this. Even if a million times we come back and we extend our hand, Allah is more than ready. His hand is already out. All the time, 24/7. Ramadan, out of Ramadan, Canada, England, Toronto, Makkah, Medina, wherever we are, whoever we are, His hand is always out for us to grab. So Allah is not like us, that you done tawbah 100 times, million times, now it's enough. Sorry, the quota is finished. There's no quota in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He's saying that, koshish to aashiq na chode, don't give up. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhiye. Keep this relationship of love between you and Allah. Keep the fire burning. Jo sobar toote to sobar jore. If this relationship, if this ta'alluq breaks up 100 times, then connect it back again 100 times. Kar nafs ka muqabla bar bar tu. So martaba bhi haar ke himmat na haar tu. Khaja Azizul Hasan sahab, he used to say, kar nafs ka muqabla bar bar tu. Fight against your nafs. Fight against your desires. How many times? Once? Twice? 10 times? No. Bar bar tu. Over and over and over again. So martaba bi har ke himmat na har tu. Even if you lose 100 times, your nafs, shaitan, pushes you to the ground, knocks you out. You're KO'd, you're out. So martaba bi har ke himmat na har tu. Don't give up. Stand up again, and again, and again, and again. Even if you get beaten up, don't worry. Because if we get beaten up by someone once or twice, we won't go back in the ring with them. Even if we thought we're tough, he's knocked us out once, that's it. We'll make some excuse next time that I'm not feeling well. Because we don't want to be disgraced. But in the court of Allah, there's no disgrace. The more times shaitan knocks us out and we stand up and we go back in the ring, Allah becomes happy. So there's nothing to lose. Allah becomes more and more happy. If we go in the ring, there is no disgrace for us. This is between us and Allah. And Allah, He is more than happy to see this fight going on. And inshallah, He will value this. He will, in Jannat, in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even on our effort, He will give us so much. So if we become successful, truly, how much will we achieve? So we should never ever give up or become despondent in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the message which I was giving and which I have given today is that, along with our tawbah, to complete this tawbah of ours, we need to sit down and we need to evaluate our lives. We need to find out who is it that is making us do wrong. Which situations are such wherein we become weak, in which we slip, in which we become prone to nafs and shaitan. And what things are there in our lives, our TV, our gadgets, this, that, which make us commit wrong. And then, for the sake of our hereafter, we have to give this up. Even if it means we have to make a worldly loss, a small, paltry worldly loss. This worldly loss, if we're trying to do something for the sake of Allah, we won't make a loss. But for a few days, Allah tests us. So we will see that there is some harm in this, in leaving this friend, in leaving this situation, in leaving this item of luxury that I have. But inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us such peace and contentment of the heart that in a few days we will forget this and we will feel happy. We will feel content that now I am on the right track. Now my tawbah has become complete. Now I am not going back to my old life. So especially the grave sins, you know, taking intoxicants, haram relationships, zina, adultery, the major sins. Those sins especially, we have to make sure that we don't go back to them because they are very, very dangerous. So we have to make sure that we sit down today. It's an ideal time in the masjid and we should make this resolve. We should try to identify and then take steps. And if we don't know what to do, then we take advice. You have Mufti Sahib here, Maulana Imran Sahib, your Aimma, other ulama, whoever you are connected to, you take advice from them. That look, I am in this situation, I don't know how to get out of this, please help me. Please assist me. They will not go and tell your problems to anyone. As long as you have confidence in someone, you trust them, go to whoever you trust. As long as they know what they're talking about. And they can give you the right guidance. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability
to understand what has been said. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.